Chapter 1. Tequila Watson. The shots that fired the bullets that entered Pumpkin's head were heard by 8 people. 3 immediately closed their windows, locked their doors, and withdrew to the safety of their small apartments. 2 others, with previous experience of incidents like this, ran away faster than the gunman himself. Another, who was digging through some garbage for cans, jumped behind a pile of boxes until the shooting stopped. 2 saw almost everything. They were sitting at the corner of Georgia Street and Lamont Street in front of a grocery store, half hidden by a parked car so that the gunman, who glanced around briefly before following Pumpkin into the alley, didn't see them. Both told the police that they saw the boy with the gun reach into his pocket and pull it out. A second later, they heard the shots, though they didn't actually see Pumpkin get hit. But they did see the boy with the gun rush out of the alley and run straight in their direction. He ran bent at the waist with a scared and guilty look on his face. When he passed them, he was still holding the gun, which, for one terrifying second, he seemed to point at them. Keeping their heads down, both of them crawled as quickly as they could into the grocery store and shouted for someone to call the police. There had been a shooting. 30 minutes later, the police received a call that a young man matching the description of Pumpkin's killer had been seen carrying a gun in open view on 9th Street and acting very strangely. The police found their man an hour later. His name was Tequila Watson, a black male, age 20, with the usual drug-related police record. No family, no address. The last place he had been sleeping was a rehab unit on W Street. He had thrown away the gun and had also thrown away the cash or drugs he must have stolen from Pumpkin, because his pockets were empty. The police were certain that Tequila hadn't been affected by drink or drugs when he shot Pumpkin. After a few quick, rough questions, he was handcuffed, pushed into the back seat of the police car, and taken back to the alley near Lamont Street where he had killed Pumpkin.
"Ever been here before?" one policeman asked.
Tequila said nothing, just stared at the pool of fresh blood on the dirty ground. After the 2 witnesses from outside the grocery store had identified him, Tequila was pushed into the car once again and taken to jail. He was charged with murder and sat quietly in a crowded cell, saying nothing to anyone, just staring at the floor. Pumpkin's mother, Adelpha Pumphrey, was sitting behind a desk just inside the basement entrance of a large office building on New York Avenue, watching the security screens. She was a large woman in a tight brown uniform, a gun on her waist, an empty look on her face. The policeman who approached her had visited her many times before. They gave her the news, then found her boss. In a city where young people killed each other every day, every mother knew many others who had lost their children, and every mother knew that she could lose hers at any time. The mothers had watched the other mothers survive with horror. As Adelpha Pumphrey sat at her desk, with her face in her hands, she thought of her son and his lifeless body being inspected by strangers somewhere in the city at that moment. She cried for her baby and swore revenge on whoever had killed him. Adelpha went to court to watch her son's killer being formally charged. The police told her that it would be a quick, routine matter. The killer would plead not guilty and ask for a lawyer. She was in the back row, with her brother on one side and a neighbor on the other, crying into a damp handkerchief. She wanted to see the boy. She also wanted to ask him why, but she knew she would never get the chance. They brought the criminals into the courtroom like cattle at a market. All were black, all wore orange prison suits and handcuffs, and all of them were young. In addition to his handcuffs, Tequila had chains on his wrists and ankles because his crime had been especially violent, though he looked fairly harmless now. Adelpha stared at the thin boy in the orange prison suit and wondered where his mother was, how she had raised him, if he had a father, and, most important, why he had killed her son.